Hey, podcast listeners, Ira here. Do you love it when we do stories about space, or would you rather hear about the science of food? Well, we've got a contest that pits those two against each other. It's called Space versus Food. And by donating $5 to the Science Friday Initiative, the nonprofit that funds us, you can cast your vote. Point your smartphone, tablet, or computer to sciencefriday.com/spacevfood to join Team Space or Team Food and help keep Science Friday on the airways. Remember, vote for which stories you'd prefer. Food stories, like science of cooking, grilling, things like that, or space stories, planets, galaxies, stuff like that. sciencefriday.com/spacevfood. Now on to the show. This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Hear that noise in the background? That's the sound of progress, as they say. In this case, 3D printing. A 3D printer is operating right here in our studios. You hear something new almost every day about 3D printing. You have 3D printed food, 3D printed limbs, even 3D printed houses and cars. And this week brought news of 3D printed earbuds, custom fitted to your ear shape. I got to get some of those for this show, I think. Well, we've all heard of 3D printing, but how many of us have tried it or know how these machines really work? You can even get your designs 3D printed at Staples, and I understand at Home Depot, places like that now. Well, today it's a beginner's guide to 3D printing, the ABCs of 3D, with folks who know a lot about this. Let me introduce Bree Pettis. He is the CEO and co-founder of MakerBot Industries in Brooklyn. And today he's in our Manhattan studios, and the 3D printer is already up and running. He's going to show us how these things work. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, last time you were here, you brought us a little bit of a crude 3D printed thing, but a little bottle opener with a penny in it.
Oh, yeah, one foot in front of the other.
That's right. I also want to bring in another guest into our conversation. Laura Talman is the mathematician in residence at the Museum of Mathematics in New York, and she's had a lot of success bringing 3D printing into her math classroom at James Madison University in Virginia. And she uses 3D printing to help teach students math through knot theory. She's brought a lot of 3D knots.
That's right. We have a lot of models you can't see.
You can't see. Well, you'll be able to see a lot of the stuff up on our website at sciencefriday.com. Brief, let's talk about the ABCs of 3D printing. What is going on in the machine now?
So what we've got here is a MakerBot Replicator Mini. This is our entry-level 3D printer at $1,375. And it can make things about the size, about 4 by 4 by 5 inches tall. So like two muffins stacked on top of each other, kind of size, gives you an idea how big you can make things. And right now what it's doing is it's making wonderful noises as it moves around. And a 3D printer is kind of like a super fancy automated hot glue gun. It takes material in, it melts it, and then it draws a picture with it. And then it draws another picture on top of that. And layer by layer, your model emerges. And where it started as just a virtual model on your computer in 3D, then it becomes a physical model and right in front of you that you can hold in your hand.
So you start out with a computer version of it on your screen, then you have a file, and then you feed it in to the 3D printer.
That's right. And you can either design the thing yourself in a CAD program, or we have an application you can download called Print Shop, or you can download something else is made on our website called Thingiverse.com, or you can scan something. You can take something in the world, scan it, and make a copy of it, and even modify it.
Now we actually have the Sci-Fi logo on your Print Shop.
Yeah, we are currently manifesting the Sci-Fi logo.
Oh, that's great. And how do I get started designing more complicated stuff? Via the software?
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. The way people usually get started if they've never done any design work is they start by making things that other people have designed. Like we've got Snuffleupagus here. We did a partnership with Sesame Street. And we've got an Ugly Doll here. Those are things that you can make that are really fun. And then you can get into start designing things yourself. Like the Sci-Fi logo is, we have this application Print Shop that you can download. And all you have to do to make a 3D model is know how to type. So that's a good way to get started. And then if you want to get into it more, there's 3D modeling programs like Tinkercad, 123D, and SketchUp that are all great entry-level easier to use than Photoshop. Although now Photoshop has, you can make things in 3D too.
Now, Laura Talman, you have a whole bunch of knots and things that you designed on a 3D printer. You printed them out.
That's right.
Describe what they look like.
Well, okay, so one knot is actually a link. It's called the Borromean rings. It has three loops, each of which no two are connected, but all three, they are connected together. This was printed on a MakerBot Replicator 2, very much like the Mini that is here right now. And some other knots we have are, we have a pedal knot, which was just recently proved that every knot has a pedal conformation. So it's just going to be where people can see it. Maybe we'll take a picture of it.
Yeah.
When you have a knot in space, imagine like a shoelace tied up in space and then the ends attached together again. And then it can take different shapes. And this pedal knot has all the crossings lined up in one place. It's really amazing when you can actually print these things
stuff.
In reality.
Gorgeous stuff. So what's the learning curve for you? Because you didn't, you start from zero, right?
I started from, if there's a less than zero, I started from wherever that is. There was a big learning curve for me because a lot of these objects, you need some mathematical data or equations to print, and you have to figure out how to change that sort of abstract information into a file that then you can print. But with a Tinkercad and TopMod, and that's a great one for some of these knots. And if you have mathematical software like Mathematica, you can use that to print knots too.
Do you get surprising results when you print some of the stuff out?
I think that there are surprising results. Like, for example, these Borromean rings that are the three rings that no two are connected, but all three they're connected. I had a student print those, and she found out that you can't print them with actual circles. You have to print them with ovals. These are actually ovals. And little did she know that there's actually a research paper about that fact, that they can't be printed with circles. And she got to kind of recreate that fact herself through being extremely frustrated, which was great, right? She learned something new.
Mm-hmm. What's so great about Laura's work is it's one of the things that's the most interesting things happen when people connect their passion with a 3D printer. And your passion for math and knots is just like, I wouldn't have been able to understand these in like on a piece of paper. But when you put them in front of me, I'm like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah, once you see them, if you hold them in your hand, they become obvious.
So it makes sense, yeah.
If a picture is 1,000 words, then a print is like 1,000 pictures.
Mm-hmm. You have this website called Thingiverse.
Yes.
What are some of the most exciting things that people are... They download the designs, the files, and then they print them themselves.
You know, it's one of the things that is so cool about Thingiverse is there's new things every day. There's literally hundreds of thousands of things you can make. And it's funny, lately I've been on a little obsession hunting through Thingiverse looking for all the helmets. Because we...
Helmets?
Helmets, because we have three kinds of 3D printers. We have the MakerBot Replicator Mini, which is the small one we have here, and then we have the MakerBot Replicator, and then we have the MakerBot Replicator Z18, which makes... You can make life-size, actually working masks and helmets. So there's actually some cool stuff that's been... that the Met contributed, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and some other just really cool historical helmets that I can't wait to print out and... put on my head.
I think, you know what, I know that you can now scan people's heads and make 3D heads. I think when you can scan people's cats, and people, you know how popular cats are on the internet, when people can exchange not just pictures of their cats on Facebook, but the actual files, and hey, print my cat out, print your cat out.
And then
the killer app.
Then we have to put lasers in their eyes, and then the internet will explode.
But you say that people discover things that they can do by their passion. They don't know that they can even make these things, right?
Yeah, that's the most exciting thing. I mean, you can use a MakerBot for making all sorts of things. It's endless fun, and it's great for parents and teachers, industrial designers, architects.
But if you're a plumber and you need a washer or something.
Yeah, you need a washer. Or you were saying you needed a...
I needed a handle I couldn't find, and I wish I had a 3D printer at that point. But anything that you'd like to design, you can make it there. And is there something you... Did the kids, because you present these knots as mathematics, they really get they can relate to these sort of things.
Well, I think that might help a little bit, but even beyond the knots, just the fact that students can think of something in their mind and then make it actually come into reality, I think is really powerful. Mm-hmm. One student in my class made a fully functioning modular ukulele. She's amazing, and I asked her
at the end of the class.
It was amazing, and it was made to look like a flower with petals, and then a stem, and then leaves, and it was beautiful. And I asked her, "Did you know you could do this? That you were like a designer?" And she said, "No, I didn't even know what your class was about. I just needed a credit. I just signed up for it."
Is there a right and the wrong way to bring it into the classroom? What should you know? Just play with it?
I think the only thing that you could do wrong is think that you have to know everything before you walk in the door. So I didn't know much about 3D printing, and my students and I discovered it together. If you're willing to do that, then you can do a lot of cool things.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the technology, you have a plastic that's in there, right?
So the material science, this is pretty cool. We use a material called PLA, MakerBot PLA filament. And it's a material that's derived from corn. So when you make stuff with it, it actually kind of smells like maple syrup. And it's just wonderfully strong. And for engineers, it's absurdly dimensionally stable. It holds its shape, mm-hmm. and it's going to make it that size.
But Jay, if you get into industrial, and I know your parent company makes industrial design, you get into different kinds of raw material besides the plastic.
Yeah, and we have a flexible filament, and we just actually launched thermochromatic filaments, which are filaments that when the temperature changes, they change color.
Mm-hmm. I think people have the mistaken notion that you're starting out with like a sculptor with a block of stuff and you're chiseling away when you're actually doing just the opposite, right?
Yeah,
putting layers down, layers and layers of these.
It's an additive process, yeah. So it builds it up. So that means that there's no waste, and that's great too.
Mm-hmm. How many people are into this? How would you compare this to the computer revolution? Where are we in the printer, 3D printer revolution?
So before MakerBot, we were definitely in the mainframe era of 3D printing. I wanted one. In fact, that's why we had to start the company, is because we wanted 3D printers, but they were in, you know, secret institutions, right, and laboratories, mm-hmm. and elite educational facilities, and we just couldn't get access, and they cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we were like, we didn't know any better, so we just thought, well, we'll make one. And then it almost worked. And then we had to make another one. And then the next thing you know, it started working. So we went pretty quickly through like the Altair 8080 stage onto like the Apple I stage. That was probably our prototype.
Right.
And then now we're firmly in like the Apple II, maybe even Mac
maybe
era.
Maybe a Mac era. All right, we're going to talk more about this. Our number 844-724-8255. You can also tweet us at SciFry. Join the discussion there, talking with Bree Pettis and also Laura Talman. And you can send us an email if you'd like to talk about it. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flader. This is Science Friday. We're talking this hour about 3D printing basics with Bree Pettis. He's been walking us through it. He's CEO and co-founder of MakerBot Industries in Brooklyn. And Laura Talman, she's also with us. She's the mathematician in residence at the Museum of Math here in New York, and she's been using 3D printing in her college math classes. Our number, 844-724-8255. So when we started the break, we were talking about where we're standing in comparison to where we would be in the computer industry, and we're talking about maybe at the Macintosh level of development. How far can this go? What is the potential? And how do people get into it if they want to get a 3D printer?
So to get into it, well, because it gets most exciting when you combine your passion with MakerBot, there's so many frontiers to explore that it's a little intense, because you get, I literally ask people like, well, what do you want to make? You can make almost anything. And if you can't make it, then you can probably figure out how to do it with some creativity. So, one of the things that, it's just going to keep getting more, it's going to keep getting, the material science is going to keep coming along. It's going to be, we've really focused on making it easy and accessible so that because we want to see what happens. Yeah. We want to see what happens when it combines with whatever you're obsessed
right.
with.
Laura, what would you say to people if they want to get into this now for the first time?
Well, I would say that earlier I said the learning curve was high for me to make these sort of complex mathematical objects, but the learning curve is actually very low to just start designing your own objects. And so what I would suggest is Tinkercad.com. It's a free online CAD software that people can use to design objects. Thingiverse.com, because they can download objects, remix them, and then upload again and share with the community. And OpenSCAD, which is free software where you can like program your shapes. But it's very easy programming. An eight-year-old can learn how to use OpenSCAD, and I encourage them to do so.
And if you're not ready to buy a MakerBot printer or any other 3D printer, you can just go to some of the stores now, like I think Staples and Home Depot, places like that. It's almost like bringing a photo into the, you know, to the drugstore and having them take the picture or
and
print the picture.
And some libraries.
And some libraries. They'll make it for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got a store in Mulberry Street here in New York City as well, and then in Greenwich and in Boston as well.
Can you go in there and have your head scanned?
You can go in and get your head scanned. And if you have stuff that you want to try out, you can come in and
bring your cat in.
I'm going to bring my cat.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to be flooded with cats now. Yeah. Here we go.
And where do we stand with 3D printing food? Because that's a big topic. Right.
You know, one of the things that you have to understand with 3D printing food is it's not like we're making food from nothing. 3D printing food is usually starting with like astronaut food, but then making it into the shape of something. We did a lot of experiments with this early on at MakerBot, where we made a 3D printer that would print the news on toast or the weather on toast. And there's, you know, the way we did that was pressurizing a syringe up to about 80 PSI, and we made the mistake of using strawberry jam, which has little seeds in it.
Oh, you
jammed
it up.
and literally it exploded, and there was a evenly spread amount of strawberry jam all across the room, and there's still keyboards that don't work. Mm. So there's that. Once people realize that you're just making food in a different shape, it's great for like cake toppings or decorating cupcakes, but I don't think we're gonna. You can't solve world hunger.
No, but you
in
can.
That way
but people are thinking of using. They're using it medicinally to make medicine out of it.
You know,
drugs and things.
One of the things that's going to be so interesting is, you know, we've got the self-driving car that's going to happen. You can see it's on its way. And right now, if you need a new kidney or a new organ, it's usually harvested from people who get into a car accident. And when there's no car accidents, we're going to actually need to really push the technology and be able to make people organs. And that's when that will start to get exciting, when there's the need for it.
We're going to make car parts first, though.
Yeah.
anything you can think of that can be made, you think virtually, you'll be able to make it on. If you can design it on a computer and you can show it on a computer, you can eventually make it on a 3D printer.
And it's really a manufacturing education in a box. And it's one of those things where if you have an entrepreneurial bone or a cell of entrepreneurialism in your body, it's going to come out with your MakerBot. We've got people who get these and, you know, kids immediately start making iPhone cases with their school mascot on it. Cost them like 50 cents in material to make it, and they sell them for like $20. You know, this kind of stuff is starting to happen where people are starting to make stuff, and we've got great stories of people who are building businesses on this, which makes me really happy.
Well, we wish you all good luck and good printing, and those are some great knots. We'll have them all up on our website at sciencefriday.com and have our logo that's being printed up as we speak.
Yeah, it's almost done.
It's almost done. Thank you, Bree. Thank you, Laura. Bree Pettis is a CEO and co-founder of MakerBot Industries, and Laura Tallman is mathematician in residence at the Great Museum of Mathematics here in New York. And if you want to try 3D printing for yourself, we've got our 3D Science Friday logo up on Thingiverse. For your printing pleasure, go to Thingiverse. Go to sciencefriday.com/3Dprint. sciencefriday.com/3Dprint. You can also find a link to some of Laura Tallman's knot designs. And these are great knots, including those beautiful Borromean rings. So thank you both for joining us today.
A pleasure to be here.